We were discussing Anapanasati Sutta. Actually, already I think we have reached from detail. Now, today we have to cover the last session. As you know, in this Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha is talking about breathing, mindfulness of breathing fairly in detail. He's coming up with a kind of a recipe of 16 steps. The first four steps belong into the Kayanupassana. Second four steps belong to Vedanupassana. Third four steps belonging to Chittanupassana. And last four steps belong to Dhammanupassana. So we actually have discussed these things. And then we step on to understanding seven enlightenment factors. Bodhjhanga. So these enlightenment factors are actually the conducive conditions to further development of the various qualities in our mind. So now Buddha says, using Kayanupassana, one can develop these enlightenment factors. Using Vedanupassana, also one can develop enlightenment factors. Using Chittanupassana, one can develop enlightenment factors. Using Dhammanupassana, also one can develop enlightenment factors. So basically the idea is, so it is not that immediately we are reaching this state, but we need to start from the scratch. But as we move forward, say mindfulness. So we get some firm mindfulness, unwavering kind of mindfulness. When we are focusing our attention on a particular breath, say for example. At that time we are not shaky. Our mindfulness is not sort of shaky, but rather we properly establish mindfulness on that particular breath. Suppose it is in-breath. You can keep your attention on the in-breath. Suppose you are seeing the beginning of the in-breath. Then you can firmly establish your mindfulness on the beginning. The middle, the end, the gap, all these are, you are quite firm now. So that is where mindfulness has well established. Buddha says this is the kind of beginning of sati sambodhyanga, mindfulness enlightenment factor. And as you continue this again and again, so mindfulness enlightenment factor starts to grow. It is not that within 10-20 breaths we stop, but rather we are doing it again and again. So you can understand slowly each breath, each subtle information of this breath, that skill contributes to the development of this mindfulness. And when we understand this subtle information, how the beginning, what is the middle, what is the end, what is the gap, what is the beginning of the out-breath, what is the middle of the out-breath, how is the end of the out-breath, what is the gap. So likewise, as we investigate, as we examine very carefully, that is where the investigation or Dhamma Vichaya enlightenment factor starts to grow. Now, since this is a kind of a an exercise, we need a fair amount of effort to continue this, because immediately this process may not give you a lot of happiness. Immediately this process might not be interesting. But you need to do it again and again without giving up. So therefore, you need a fair amount of effort. So that is where the virya. And sometimes mind drifts. Again, mind starts to be lazy. So there are various obstacles come. So on such occasions, again, we have to arouse energy. Again, we have to establish mindfulness. So likewise, this whole process involves a fair amount of effort. The virya enlightenment factor, virya sambodhyanga. Assume everything is successful. Now things are doing well, going well. So at that occasion, the mind has some happiness. Mind has little pleasure, sort of a comfort is there. So that would develop to the level of piti, that is the rapture. And when the mind is sort of happy, that is a situation where our body also quite calm, quite peaceful, not sort of rough, but you feel like kind of a calmness, pleasant feeling is available. So the mind, body, both become sort of tranquil, calm. So that is where the pasaddhi, tranquility, enlightenment factor going to operate. When you are focusing your attention on a particular phenomena, then and there, now we are talking about vipassana side. So it is not a samatha concentration, rather vipassana concentration, where whenever a new arambana, new object coming up, rising up, we are ready to receive it. We are ready to examine it. And there we have the instantaneous concentration. Kanika samadhi. We have the instantaneous concentration then and there. So when a new element, new feeling, a new thought arising, we are well focused on that attribute, well focused on that phenomena. So at that instant, at that moment, we have the momentary concentration. So samadhi is also there. So assume now the whole process happened well synchronized. There's a physical process. Assume that we are in the Kayanupassana section. Then each and every breath being observed, and we can recognize different facets of the breath. Maybe it is the rising side, maybe it is the falling side, maybe it is the little vibration, maybe it is the heat, maybe it is the coolness. So likewise, different aspects are being observed, and we don't need to do anything. Rather, mind is well synchronized with this whole process. The physical process and mental process is well synchronized. Basically, nothing to do at this stage because the process itself has the momentum. This is where we simply have to let it happen. That is where the equanimity, upekkha, enlightenment factor is in operation, because we basically allow things to happen. We allow the mind to observe various phenomena, and the various phenomena are also arising, and mind well coupled with various phenomena, and it's continuously observing various aspects of it. So that continue, and that actually helps to develop equanimity, because basically we have nothing to do. We are simply become passive observers. Since the process has taken by itself. So this is where the equanimity enlightenment factor is developing. Assume now everything is little somewhat clear. So same thing is possible in Vedanupassana. And Chittanupassana, the same thing is possible. Assume there's a kind of a mental state, there's a defilement, maybe a positive mental state. Whatever it is, you can clearly recognize it. Dhamma vicaya is there. You are well synced with it. Mindfulness is there. And if mind drifts, again you have the effort to come back. And when things are successful, you have the calmness, peacefulness, tranquility, and momentary concentration is all are there. And equanimity is also there. When things are going well, you have nothing to do, allow things to happen. Equanimity is also there. So when these things are happening properly, so you are learning, that actually the mind is learning these characteristics, how these are operating. The mind starts to learn the arising and passing away features or these realities. So this, the transience of each and every phenomena become quite evident to the yogi. So more and more, as a result, the body starts to calm down. Various feelings start to calm down. And the mind also starts to calm down. And ultimately, so you can refer the step number 12. So that is where the mind becomes free. So now yogi is recognizing this kind of a freedom, kind of an unattached state, kind of a stillness. Now mind is not associating anything. Mind doesn't want to associate the body. Mind doesn't want to observe various elements. Mind doesn't want to observe various sensations, doesn't want to observe various feelings, but mind simply has the awareness. This is a kind of a effortless awareness. So at the beginning, we need a lot of effort because otherwise mind may go different places. It is not yet tamed. But now, as it develops, the mind is well tamed and well focused, well synchronized with each phenomena. And that is how the wisdom is growing. And as a result of this drawn wisdom, mind has let go of the whole process. Therefore, in number 12, you can see the mind lets go everything and become free, sort of liberated. So this freedom, yogi has to recognize. So don't think this will only happen at the Chittanupassana section. But in this sutta, this Chittanupassana section, it is highlighted. But this liberation or this unassociated state is possible even at Kayanupassana, even at Vedanupassana, even at Chittanupassana and Dhammanupassana. That is why if you refer Satipatthana Sutta, each and every Kammatthana, Buddha says, Anissitocha viharati rajakinchi loki upadhi. He is telling it at the Kayanupassana section. Each and every Kammatthana, say he is telling it to Anapanasati, he is telling it to various postures, he is telling it to element meditation. If you go to the, say, Vedanupassana, there also he is mentioning that. If you go to Chittanupassana, there also he is mentioning that. So this possibility is available. So we need to recognize this possibility rather than considering it as kind of a bored kind of experience. It is actually bored because typically we prefer activities. Typically we like to do something. Always we like to be sort of agitated. Unlikely or likely, so this is kind of an inherent quality of our mind. We want to get agitated. Now suppose you are asked to see a film. If it is packed with lot of actions, lot of gunfights, lot of thrills, adventures, so it is quite easily you can observe it. But if you simply have to watch several hours, just a meditating nun, meditating monk, will you observe that film? Mostly not, because it is quite boring. Even though it is peaceful, I mean, our mind may not appreciate it. So this is where we actually go wrong. Even in our meditation, our mind reaches a kind of a state which is free from any kind of an attachment, which is free from any sort of grasping, any kind of a defilement, any kind of tension, any kind of stress, nothing is there. Complete unattached, unassociated state of mind is possible, but we are not recognizing. This is where we miss the point. But if we are skillful, if we know the technique, if we know the real path, then once it happens, we understand that state, give value to that state, we start to appreciate that state, and that state has to be maximized. Again and again, that state has to be maximized. So this is what Buddha emphasized, how one develops seven enlightenment factors in order to fulfill vijja and vimutti. Now, Suranga, probably you can show that part. So, that is onto the right side of this diagram. So, in this right side of the diagram, you can see that. So, now the yogi has to give emphasis on how to develop these various enlightenment factors with a, you know, with some restful mind. Now, suppose when you started your mindfulness practice, you may prepare a schedule, you may prepare a timetable, you are waking up very early, you go to sleep late. So likewise, you had various kind of a scheduling. But once you have developed fair amount of mindfulness, once you have developed to some extent these enlightenment factors, now that kind of a very strict schedule is not necessary, because your whole life has become a kind of meditation. Hope you can understand what I am trying to tell. I mean, at the beginning only we are in a way manipulating our meditation. We are controlling our meditation. But later actually we don't have to manipulate, we don't have to control. Rather, we allow the process to happen by itself. Because the process itself has some momentum. It has caught up some momentum. So we allow things to happen by itself. Now we are not controlling it too much. We are not putting excess effort. Rather, we like to keep the mind empty. We like to keep the mind restful. We like to keep the mind free from stress. We like to keep the mind still. We have to keep the mind sort of unattached. So this is where we have to maximize. So Buddha says, therefore, we have to develop our meditation now in a different attitude. So far, the meditation is kind of a struggle. But now we have to change that attitude. Now the process itself has come up with some momentum. So we allow this momentum to carry on and we take the back seat. We now become a kind of a passive observer since the process is happening properly. That is where Buddha says, Viveka Nisitam was Viraga Nisitam Nirodha Nisitam Vasalda Parinami. So one has to develop mindfulness, Sati Sambojjhanga, Sati Sambojjhangam Bhaveti, Viveka Nisitam, Viraga Nisitam, Nirodha Nisitam, Vasalda Parinami. Dhamma Viche Sambojjhangam Bhaveti, Viveka Nisitam, Viraga Nisitam, Nirodha Nisitam, Vasalda Parinami. Likewise, he is repeating the same process to all enlightenment factors. What it means is that now you are further continuing the practice, but with a different attitude. You are now recognized that peaceful state of the mind. You have now recognized that stillness of the mind. You have now recognized the unattached state of the mind, unassociated state of the mind, stress-free, tension-free state of the mind. Now this mind does not attached to anything in a way. Now suppose you are doing a walking session, but you are not purposely keeping your attention on the various sensations. Previously, at your beginning stage of your meditation, if you don't keep your attention on this sensation, your mind may drift. Your mind may go to the past. Your mind may go to the future. Your mind may go to something visible to you. Your mind may go to various sounds. But now it's different. Even though you are not purposely keeping your attention on these various sensations, mind doesn't go anywhere. Mind has its own seclusion. Mind likes to be secluded. Mind likes to rest. Mind like to be unattached. Mind like to have no association. Mind likes kind of a freedom, stress-free state. So Buddha says, therefore, so cultivate this kind of a process now. Allow things to happen. Don't manipulate now. Don't control now. Now your mind starts to appreciate this viveka, starts to appreciate this kind of a stress-free state. And when various other phenomena coming to your picture, you have a dispassion towards them. You are not interested about them. So you simply allow them to go. You come back to that freedom. You come back to that unassociated state. You come back to that defilement-free state. And more, this state become free from any arising and passing away. It has a kind of a tranquility. It has a kind of a peace. And if whenever mind grasps, now because of our past habits, there's a possibility of new grasping because of the past habits. Even though we have recognized this very peaceful, very clean, very pure state of mind, still we can't maintain it for a long time because still the grasping power is very high. So assume mind again go and grasp. At that time we have the attitude of relinquishment, vasagga parinami. So whenever it is grasping, we simply relinquish, come back to that peace. So therefore Buddha says, so we have to develop further knowledge, further wisdom. Once we have that wisdom, again mind become free. So this vijja and vimutti, knowledge and freedom, go hand in hand. When there is no enough wisdom, again mind go and grasp. At that time we improve our wisdom. Then as a result, mind become free. Because you know, Buddha's teaching actually aimed on freedom. That is the mental freedom. Stress-free, tension-free, suffering-free state of mind. So therefore, this freedom has to be maximized whenever it is being blocked, whenever it has become not available. So there you understand, again, unfortunately, due to past habits, again, it has grasped. So you apply some wisdom there. You again arouse wisdom. So as a result, again, it becomes free. So whenever mind is free, that means it is already well equipped with wisdom. So don't think that this free mind is lack of wisdom. It is fairly strengthened with wisdom. That is why it is free. Now, typical wisdom. Now, it is not the proper wisdom. Now, say you are learning various things. You are learning various subjects. You are learning various states in the typical nature. More and more we learn, we start to grasp. We become someone. We become a doctor. We become an engineer. We become a professor. We become someone. Because we grasp that knowledge. This kind of typical worldly knowledge does not allow mind to be free. But the wisdom that Buddha is talking, what Buddha is recommending, has the quality of freeing the mind. More we have that kind of a wisdom, such wisdom promotes freedom of mind. So that wisdom is mentioned as vijja. So once such wisdom is available, mind becomes free. So therefore this vijja and vimutti, knowledge and freedom, actually helping each other. More and more freedom, that means the knowledge, the proper wisdom is available at that time. When there is no knowledge, again can grasping happen. At that time, again, we have to sharpen the wisdom. As a result, mind become free. So likewise, Buddha says, we have to strengthen this process. We have to cultivate this path. So therefore, so now we are at this level, Buddha is telling, so we are aiming Nibbana. Because whenever grasping happens, so that means we have some lust, we have some kind of a greed. But if there is no grasping, that means the mind is free from grasping, free from greed. That's why it is not grasping. So more and more, mind become free from grasping, free from greed, free from hatred, free from delusion. So what is the state are we referring, which is free from greed, free from hatred, free from greed, free from delusion? That is nothing but Nibbana. So the one definition of Nibbana is Tanhakkayo. Another way, we can say agakkhayo, dosakkhayo, mohakkhayo. That is Nibbana. So more and more now we have the attitude of letting go, attitude of dispassion, attitude of freedom, attitude of seclusion. So these are all more and more getting closer to the Nibbana. So we can say this is more, I mean, whenever the mind is free, so we are in a temporary state of Nibbana. So therefore in Dhamma it is called Tadanga Nibbuti. So the mind is temporarily free, temporarily have attained Nibbana, temporarily mind become free from greed, hatred and delusion. So we have to maximize this process, we have to apply this process again and again. So this is how mind become more and more cool, more and more calm, free from any burning, free from any greed, free from any hatred, free from any delusion. So likewise, now we are tuning our practice towards more and more defilement free state. Because when defilements are present, again mind go and grasp. But when our mind is free from defilements, mind can simply stay in the freedom, can enjoy freedom, can enjoy calmness, can enjoy tranquility, because it is free from defilements. So therefore, this stage, therefore Buddha says, this is how one has to develop enlightenment factors in order to strengthen the vijja, in order to strengthen the vimutti, that is, in order to strengthen wisdom and in order to strengthen freedom. So this is how the whole Anapanasati Sutta evolves. So therefore, by developing one technique, Anapanasati, one has the capacity to develop four foundations, Anupassana, Vedanupassana, Chittanupassana, Dhammanupassana. By developing these four foundations, one has the capacity to develop seven enlightenment factors. And by developing seven enlightenment factors, according to the today's recipe that Buddha has mentioned, one is developing now these various enlightenment factors further, associating freedom, associating seclusion, associating dispassion, having an attitude of relinquishment, then one has the capacity to maintain a free mind, defilement-free mind, stress-free mind, tension-free mind. That is strengthened with wisdom and freedom. So vijaya and vimutti. So this is the kind of a path Buddha mentioned in this Anapanasati Sutta. So today, therefore, we can conclude this Anapanasati Sutta. Next time we can take a different sutta. So I open the session for question and questions. And we have to limit it, I think, to about 24 minutes, or maybe half an hour. Our question and answer session has to be limited today. Anyway, I will open the session for questions.
Sorry, Bhante. We have three questions today.
Okay.
Question number one is sitting mindfulness. Venerable Bhante, may I please get your advice regarding my current practice? I have been practicing since this program started, sometimes walking 30 to 60 minutes prior to sitting, other times only sitting. When I first began the sitting practice, so much effort was required to establish mindfulness, and I could spend 45 to 60 minutes in a seated practice. Many times, it felt like it took a long time to establish mindfulness, but only a short time with the still mind. But over time, this improved. Over time, I found mindfulness can establish faster. However, I find myself cycling much more through the cycle of establishing mindfulness, then stillness, then thoughts coming, then stillness again, or back to breath, and so on. As I learned from you about this in Chittanupassana and Dhammanupassana, I have allowed myself to experiment. Sometimes I felt it to be useful. Other times I got caught into my thoughts too much and it was not as productive. I remind myself to keep my attitude as a beginner each time and having no expectations. Simply curiosity of what will happen so I don't feel disappointed. As my mindfulness has improved, however, I find that I struggle to sit in meditation for as long as I could before. By 30 minutes, whether or not I set an alarm, I feel compelled to open my eyes. Only rarely does this not happen. I can observe the compulsion but cannot stop it. Watching it can make the compulsion stronger, but even trying to ignore it and redirect my attention to breathing also hasn't been very useful. I feel like my progress has stalled, but I'm not sure what is happening to adjust the practice or how to continue at this point. Much merits for your guidance. That's the end of the question.
Actually, these ups and downs are unavoidable. Actually, every time these kind of up and down states are happening, so it's a matter of continuation. I mean, all these ups and downs, we need to understand, are strengthening our skillful qualities, are strengthening our spiritual qualities. We don't need to expect every time the meditation happen in a certain manner. So we can't predict how it is going to happen. That unpredictability and all these vicissitudes that we are coming across are actually all helpful to develop some kind of a strength in our mind. And if everything go wrong, how quickly we can return to our normal state. That kind of a resilience actually developing. So therefore, this whole spiritual path consisting of that kind of obstacles in a way. So we have to take them positively. Whenever sort of an obstacle happen, so we are going through it, we are facing it. And as a result of that endurance, as a result of that courage, the necessary qualities of our mind are developing. So ultimately, we will be going to have an unwavering kind of a mind, unshaken mind. So that is the quality of an Arahant. Yeah, he has an unshaken mind. Whether the outside conditions go up to the favorable side, or whether the conditions happen to the unfavorable side, still his mind stay unshaken. So when come back to your case, so when your mind is free, okay, keep it free, but don't too rigidly keep it. Allow the mind a little play as well. Then only we can recognize, okay, where is it again shifting, where is it again going out, what are still its tendencies? Is it taking the old habits? Is it taking the, say, any kind of lustful objects? Or is it taking any kind of angry objects? Is it thinking about the future? So likewise, we can actually recognize our own personality traits while being in this state. So more and more we understand that, more and more we sort of become very humble, because we understand it's a sort of various habits are there. It's time. So those habits very much like are hidden. And I sometimes become a victim of those habits. It's not because of my own will. I don't want to get caught to them, but unfortunately I get caught. So you understand the importance of revealing those habits in a way to reprogram this our mental structure. We need to readjust our whole mechanism so that we won't become a victim of these various habits. So that is where we are get onto a situation. So we allow these various habits to come to the surface, and then we can understand various defiled states of mind, and after that we are not going to strengthen those habits. We are not going to become a poor victim of that habit, but rather we are well aware of it and simply allow it to be. So this is where weakening the habit. So various habits are there. Now rather than strengthening them, we start to weaken them. We have to be very humble in order to do that, because these are sort of inherent qualities, and this is what we have so far recognized. Okay, I am an angry character. I am a short-tempered character. I am a lustful character. I am an energetic character. I am a very creative character. All these are sort of our own personalities. But now we look at it objectively. We look at them as a phenomena, as a causes and conditions, and without promoting it, without strengthening it, then only we have a kind of an escape.
Question number 2 of 4. This is actually a comment rather than a question. I just want to express my gratitude to you and all coordinating this program. I'm getting so much out of this practice in my daily life. Whilst it will be lovely if I could see instant results with my mindfulness practice, over time and with patience and continued practice, I can see how it has improved. Even when I fail, I find something to learn. I see benefit not only for myself, but also in my family life, work life, etc. Mindfulness has opened the door for me to learn many things that I did not expect when I first joined this program. Your teachings have been invaluable. Having this forum also offers a sense of community and accountability, which is something I have not had before. I wish so much merit to all of you. That's the end.
Yeah, thank you for the comment. This is actually encouraging. Actually, I know that the organizing committee is taking a lot of effort to continue the session and maintain the quality of the session. So therefore, it's a good applaud for them. So thank you very much for sharing your comments.
Question number 3 of 4, sitting mindfulness. Dear Venerable Bhante, I start my sitting practice observing the breath. I can identify the differences in the in-breath and out-breaths. First, it's a hot and cold nature and how the breath touches the nostrils. Afterwards, I start to observe the comparisons between the in-breaths and out-breaths in terms of length and fullness. Meantime, I could sense the beginning, middle, and end of the full breaths and observe fading away of sensations as well. When the breath gets subtle and subtler, the focus is coming to my sitting posture. Suddenly, I start observing the weight of my body on my sitting posture, some parts of the hands, etc. The boundaries of the posture is not so clear, but there is some sensation which I cannot describe. I also feel small movements of my body, especially the posture. It feels like a bubble of air or a jelly moving up and down along my body. I feel my posture moves with this internal movement as well. Since the breath is totally vanished during this time, I can keep my attention to the movement inside my posture. It becomes more like a meditation object now, and I can see thoughts coming and going against this backdrop. Sometimes the breath appears again and also disappears as well. Maybe one day this backdrop of posture and internal movement will disappear and a new object will arise. I have no special liking or disliking, but thought of letting Bhante know my current status of practice if there is any guidance. Much merits for your invaluable service. There's a second part.
I'll just read it. Yeah.
Should I leave it?
No. Yes. Answer the first question.
Okay.
So basically, I mean, you simply have to continue. There is no any special thing to do here. So more and more, we are learning from various phenomena. Actually, why we develop mindfulness is to learn from various phenomena and to develop wisdom. So that wisdom is capable of freeing the mind. So that's what we so far understood through Anapanasati Sutta. So through Anapanasati, we are developing 4 foundations of mindfulness. Now the mindfulness has well established. So it contributes to develop enlightenment factors. And when we are developing enlightenment factors in a way to promote wisdom, promote freedom, then ultimately mind becomes free. It is free from any defilement. It is free from any tension, free from any grasping, and free from suffering. So this is what we are aiming. So even though mindfulness practice start very gentle manner or with very basics, very with simple exercises, it has the capacity to move forward for a deeper realizations, for major realizations, and it's a kind of, as you said, kind of a turning point in our life. And for you, actually, there is no need to change anything. Just it's a matter of maximizing the process. Just the continuation of this practice.
Sorry, there wasn't a second part of that question. That was just my mistake. Question number four is a theory question. Dear Venerable Sir, can you please explain the meaning of, and I'm not going to get this right because I've missed the start of the sermon, or Sagga Parina, explaining in the Dhamma sermon, Theravada Sarana. I hope that makes sense, Pante.
Yes. So actually, if Suranga can show that diagram again, in that diagram, you can see, so we are requested to develop enlightenment factors in a certain fashion. It is not that we are strongly geared to develop something, but rather we are doing it in a more relaxed manner, more relaxed attitude. And that is where the Viveka Nisitam. So we give prominence to the sort of seclusion in the mind. It is secluded from various phenomena. It is now not associating with various phenomena. Now, when various phenomena are arising, so mind doesn't have eager to be with them. Mind doesn't have the willingness to absorb them or catch them or be with them, but rather towards those various phenomena, mind has dispassion, supported by dispassion, viraga nisita. And when you are in this state, there is nothing arising, nothing passing away. Mind is in a sort of a freedom. Mind is in a sort of a unagitated state, restful state. So this is the kind of a cessation where the new, in order for things to arise, the conditions has to be there. But here, we are not promoting those conditions. We are not promoting any kind of a sankhara. But rather, we are calming down all sankhara, calming down all various thinking, calming down all various, formations. So as a result, mind become more and more ceased. Ceased in the sense, all that arising and passing away phenomena, that conditioned phenomena are no more arising. They are in a ceased station, cessation state. And if they arise, we have the attitude towards relinquishment. We are not going to grasp them anymore. We are not going to hold them anymore. But rather we have understood the futile nature of them. We have understood the emptiness. We have understood the empty nature of them. We understood that they are not worthy of holding. They are not worthy of attaching. So we are now strengthened, or we are now have the attitude of relinquishment. So more and more, that nothing to grasp. So mind become more and more relinquishing things. So the mind become empty. Mind become more spacious, unattached, not associating anything. Mind has its own freedom. So this, therefore, the term Vasagga Parinaming refers that we have the attitude of relinquishment. So Buddha's whole path is therefore is a kind of a letting go. The whole process becomes sort of a letting go. The mind's burden has become less and less. So that's why I last time also referred one of the beautiful statement by Venerable Achan Cha. If you let go a little, you have little freedom. If you let go more, you have more freedom. If you let go totally, you have total freedom. So therefore, this process of letting go, relinquishment, become kind of a normal structure of your life. It is, you don't need to struggle to let go. You may have your own house, you may have your family, you may have your car. You don't need to actually give all these things to Nisarnane. If you can, that's also welcome. But but what here is that you are not keeping any kind of a image of these things in your mind. You may pay your bill on time. You may pay your, say, rent on time. Doesn't matter. You may do all your duties towards your husband, your family. Doesn't matter. But your mind is still free. Even though you have a family, you don't need to have a sort of a stressed mind. You don't need to have a cluttered mind. Your mind can be free. Your mind still can be spacious. So this spaciousness, this unattached state of mind, this is what Buddha is encouraging us to develop. So therefore, this is possible while being a human being. This is possible while being a layman. This is possible while being a monk. All possibilities are there. That's why even the most busy one person, this Anathapindika, he too is a stream winner. And King Bimbisara, he being a king, still he's a stream winner. He also could do it. And Visakha, who had 20 children. I hope none of you have 20 children. But Visakha had 20 children. Still she is a stream winner. So likewise, even the lay people, amidst all these various commitments, still they could do it. And this is possible in this very life. Yeah.
Bhante, this is the absolute last question we have to make it on time. General question. Question number 5. Can a lay person develop an unshaken mind? That's the end.
Yeah, I think I already already answered the question. That's why, I mean, I have taken the Visakha. She's not an ordained woman. She's a lay woman. She could have that unshaken mind. That does not mean, I mean, like an arahant, she has the capacity. I mean, she may sometimes drift. That's why when one of her niece was died, so she actually started to cry, and he preached the Buddha and mentioned what has happened. At that time, Buddha aroused her wisdom, and immediately she could recover. So likewise, depending on the state of our mind, our wisdom, little shaking can happen, but still we can quickly recover. Because since our habitual tendencies are quite strong, we may not be able to immediately completely free. But once we recognize the freedom, once we recognize non-grasping state of our mind, and when we start to appreciate such state, it's a matter of maximizing it. It's a matter of enhancing it, strengthening it. So all these various repercussions, all these various vicissitudes in our life actually helps us to strengthen it. Because if we are not experiencing any kinds of ups and downs, it is difficult to strengthen this state. Now, unshakability of mind, in order to test, we have to have some ups and downs in our path. When they are reaching us, if we are able to maintain unwavering mind, unshaking mind, so that indicates we are fairly strong now. We are fairly matured now. And probably at the early stages of our practice, to some minor ups and downs, we can be stable. But for major ones, we still cry. We still collapse. But later, as we move forward, even for major ups and downs, still we can maintain this unshakability. So this is where we can recognize the growing nature of our mind, the kind of maturity of our side. And it is not simply the number of hours we sit in our cushion which matters. It's a matter of learning through day-to-day activities, learning to the life experiences, and how to use these various life incidents, life experiences in a way to fulfill our goal, to strengthen our various skills. So this is where we need to be very skillful. And actually, there are various incidents are happening daily in our life. People are blaming us. People are hinting us. Sometimes they look down us. Sometimes we lose various valuables. And maybe our loved ones are doing various notorious things, so we get upset. Our governments, countries are doing various things which may get upset. So likewise, enough things are available in this world for us to get upset. But based on them, how can we use such incidents as a raw material for our own practice? So this is where we have to be very wise to use these external conditions to strengthen our spiritual qualities. So don't think, therefore, all these challenges are happening to block you. Rather, when we are taking all these challenges to strengthen ourselves, taking these challenges to test our skill, test our maturity, then we can understand, okay, now I can bear this thing. Now I can maintain some unshakability. I have actually some results are evident because of this practice. So likewise, we can have some happiness, we can have some satisfaction based on such experiences, and this is the kind of a path. So therefore, even the arahants have gone through various ups and downs, but they can maintain unshakable mind. So we are kind of aspiring to reach such state. So let us all various challenges come on our way, and let's use such challenges in a positive way so that our spiritual qualities are developed.
Thank you, Bhante. That's the last question. And we're basically going to run over time anyway, so I'll sum up now. Thank you very much, Bhante. I know you have very limited time, but still able to run this program and accommodate us. We had some good questions today, even though we had a very short period of time, and we do get a lot of the questions during the session anyway, so maybe that's why we've got so little at this point in time. So as usual, we'd like to thank Bhante and pass merits on to Bhante for coming to this program and helping us out. Also to the organizers and all the people seen and unseen who've helped out with this program. And lastly, to all the participants who actually came along and make this program actually happen. So with that, I'd like to finish the discussion for today. Therawan Sanai, Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu.
I actually have a small notice. I think probably you all have know about it, that there's a Sinhala Dhamma sermon on every Sunday morning. If you like, you can join that as well. So that is a different Zoom link. Probably Chamila can share that also. So actually this Sunday I couldn't do it, but on next Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Sri Lanka time, we have the that Dhamma sermon. And that is a new thing we have started. And again, on each Wednesday, we have an English Sutta teaching class. That again at 7 a.m. Sri Lanka time. So if any one of you are interested, you can join with that. So we are trying to discuss various suttas and how to incorporate the Buddha's teaching to our practice. And that is a small message I have to share. So thank you very much for joining, and see you on next Sunday. Thank you very much for joining.